In your work, you've been dealing with groups as well as individuals. Would you like to say a little bit about your experience with hot groups, high performance teams, groups that really hum and buzz and are thrilling with energy and enthusiasm? How do you get to those kinds of groups, and what's your role in that?
Well, the storytelling again plays a major role, and jumpstart storytelling is something that I still use often. And we'll be doing a version of it at the Smithsonian, so people get a chance to experience it themselves.
Can you tell us a little bit about Jumpstart Storytelling?
Sure. So Jumpstart Storytelling was developed based on my experience working at the World Bank with you in a multicultural environment, working primarily with economists who are introverts and not touchy-feely types. It was also, it had input from the Center for Narrative Studies and Paul Costello's work. And it had input from the American Society of Association Executives, where meetings, conferences, is one of their primary ways of engaging members and a primary revenue stream. So it's very important. And what I was looking for was a way to accelerate rapport building. So this is not about getting people to be all lovey-dovey and want to hug each other, although occasionally that does happen. What it's really about is it's about freeing people to be themselves with each other and engage constructively around difficult concepts. And so Jumpstart Storytelling was developed, and it's a 45-50 minute process. I've done it with 8 people. I've done it with 2,500 people, and it needs to be modified, but you can modify it. And people have a chance to tell a 90-second story to a small group once, and then to another small group again, the same 90-second story. And then 2 or 3 of those stories are selected by the whole group and told in plenary so that people have an opportunity to actually get content from each other rather than from some outside authority that's decided they know what's best for these people to talk about. So, for example, let's say you have a conference on pesticide use in sub-Saharan Africa, and someone has, you know, spent a lot of time and energy figuring out what are the most important issues in pesticide use in sub-Saharan Africa, and they show up with an agenda that's a reflection of probably 3 or 4 people thinking hard about this conference over several weeks worth of time. And I'm sure they've done a great job. Usually they do. Usually they get it about 75% right. But what it reflects is the thinking of those 3 or 4 people. And maybe you have 150 people in the room, and they haven't had a chance to get on board. So what the Jumpstart Storytelling does is it brings everybody into the conversation in a very short period of time. And it does do a lot around increasing the quality of rapport. So what I found through Jumpstart Storytelling is that in the first 45 minutes of a conference, you can get the conference much closer to gelling, essentially speeding up the process by what I think would be a whole day, kind of to where people are typically at the second morning of a conference. So that's Jumpstart Storytelling kind of in a nutshell. But there will be a template and a handout at the Smithsonian so people can actually carry it out on their own if they're interested.
So once you've done the Jumpstart Storytelling, let's take our pesticide conference in West Africa. So you did Jumpstart Storytelling. People are all juiced up and energized. Then you go back to pesticides in West Africa.
You have to go back to pesticides in West Africa, but you have to use the engagement that you've created in that first 45 minutes. If you simply then move into a talking heads environment, you'll quickly lose the momentum that you've gained. And what's happened in the Jumpstart Storytelling is that you've had many conversations taking place simultaneously based on the participants' experience. And what you want to do is you want to extend that. And this is one of the places where I've seen Jumpstart Storytelling kind of stall in conferences, is they do the process, everybody's excited, there's a lot of energy in the room, and then they go back to the traditional format and bleh, you're like, you know, fried again. So
how do you mesh the two? How do you?
Well, this is what high performance groups do, and this is what they do well, which is that they build off of these conversations that start. They don't just can the conversations and then go back to the, quote, real agenda. They recognize that the real juice is in those dialogues, and they figure out how to extend those threads into the whole conference, making them part of, in fact, maybe even kind of the primary fabric of the conference.
So they have to be in an adaptive mode. They have to listen to what comes out of the Jumpstart Storytelling and then adjust what happens next and actually join whatever they brought to the conference together. And so you have hopefully a spiral upwards as you have the energy of the group and you have the material that the speakers have brought, and together it can be more than either of those two parts.
Absolutely. And what I've seen is that from working on probably over 100 change initiatives at this point, is that there's kind of two camps of people that are running these events. And I think of it, you know, every conference is a meeting. It's an event. It's a unique confluence of people face to face. But those happen all the time. Every meeting that we're in is like that. So you have these two camps. You have the people who recognize the value that you and I just described. And as soon as people open up and they get effusive and their energy starts going up, those people say to themselves, this is it. We've arrived. The juice is here. Let's start building the momentum. Tell me more about that. Why did you say that? Look what's going on over here. We have two people in conflict. Let's bring that conflict to the surface. Let's talk about the complexities. How many different ways can we look at this problem? That's one camp. The other camp says, oh my God, everything's out of control. That was so touchy-feely. Let's turn the spigot off and let's go back to the plan that we had. And the plan is we're going to do step A, and then we're going to do step B, and then we're going to do step C, and at the end we're going to have an output, and the output's going to be a report. And those are the people that crash and burn.
And in dealing with organizations, I mean, what's the proportion of the two?
Well, I make my living by turning the second organization into the first organization. So I spend a lot of time going into organizations that are like the second. But there's someone somewhere, usually at the top, who knows that there's another way to do it. And so they say, let's bring Seth in.
Go ahead.